Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
Dane Brugler on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Follow him on Twitter at Dane Brugler, NFL Draft Insider. We're just over 2 weeks away from the draft. Dane, how the hell are you?
I'm doing well. Good morning, boys. It's hard to believe, yeah. 2 weeks, 2 weeks tomorrow will be the first night. And a little different this year, huh?
Yeah, I'm going to have to ask you a couple of those things because John Harbaugh's nervous. John Harbaugh's really nervous. People are going to steal his secrets and steal his plays. And I think, well, the first one, it's kind of like whoever smelt it, dealt it. And it's kind of like, well, if you're the one bringing it up over here, maybe I should be paying attention to you, Johnny boy. Maybe you got some IT people in there who are looking to steal some secrets. But we'll bring that up a little bit later on. Dane, you look across some of the draft stuff, and there's like five different offensive linemen that people pick at number 10 for the Browns. Well, that's a mock draft, and I don't want to pick maybe the fifth best offensive lineman or the fourth best offensive lineman. I want the number one offensive lineman. So who's your best offensive lineman in this class, and how do the Browns go about getting that guy?
In my opinion, it's Jedrick Wills, the offensive tackle from Alabama. And I think the biggest concern you have with him is he's been a right tackle his entire life. Now, I think when you look at his skill set, you look at his talent, I think he projects naturally a left tackle. And, you know, the big reason he was at right tackle was protecting Tua's blind side at Alabama. But there's a little bit of projection there with at least Mekhi Becton, Tristan Wirfs, Andrew Thomas. Those guys have played both the left and the right side, so you at least have some tangible tape you can watch of playing both sides with those prospects. With Wills, a little more of a projection, but with that said, he is the best tackle that I've evaluated over the last year at the college level. I think he's got big-time potential. I think what he is right now is he's ready to step in and start from day one. He's a mauling blocker in the run game, and then in pass protection, he has taken huge strides. With how he's developed the last 2-3 years in Tuscaloosa. So for me, it's Jedrick Wills. And then right behind him, at Tristan Wirfs. I think that with Wirfs, everyone knows what he did at the combine. I remember we talked a few days before the combine, and I mentioned how Tristan Wirfs was going to be an ideal fit. I think people saw that athleticism at the combine with what he did in the 40, with what he did in the agility stuff, the jumps, just the movement skills. And if he's there at 10, I think that would make an awful lot of sense for Cleveland.
Well, Dane, let's talk about the odds of having their choice at number 10. And, of course, that hinges on so many other things. Other teams trading down, other teams trading up because they want to get a quarterback. What could you realistically see as the scenario for the Browns sitting there at 10? How many of those offensive linemen do you think will be there?
I think that I think maybe two will be off the board at that point. I think the Giants sitting at four, they're going to have an interesting choice between Simmons, the linebacker, and then the offensive tackle. I think when you look at Dave Gettleman, his two first-round picks in New York have been what? Saquon Barkley and Daniel Jones. And he knows that in order for those two picks to look right, he needs to get this pick right and it has to be an offensive tackle to help those other two first-round picks. So I think he's going to go off at the line of four. And then you look at Carolina, they're rebuilding the entire thing with Matt Rhule. Offensive tackle's possibility there. Arizona, now that they've traded for DeAndre Hopkins, offensive tackle, they have a big need at right tackle. That could be a spot they look at. So I think that we're probably looking at two offensive tackles off the board. And it'll be interesting to see which are the two offensive tackles that would be gone in that scenario. You talk to people around the league, and it's a split about who's the top tackle. I mean, Mekhi Becton, you hear a lot about potential with him and how he has the highest ceiling. Tristan Wirfs with the movement skills. Jedrick Wills is a mauler run blocker, upside pass protector. And then Andrew Thomas, who's just been doing it for the last 3 years and doing it at a high level. So you can make the argument that any of those four are the top tackle, and in 3 years, you might be right, because all four have something that you can point to and say, this is why they're the best tackle in this class.
Dane, which of those guys you just mentioned up front would be the riskiest for the Cleveland Browns?
You know, I think that Becton probably has the most I don't think any of these guys are high bust potential guys, but I think Becton might have the most if we have to pick one, just because there's a little bit of sloppiness to his game. And, you know, at that size, 360 pounds, you worry about him, going up to 380 or, just maintaining that conditioning. So that is, there's a little bit of bust potential with him, but the upside is immense about what he can be. Andrew Thomas is my number four offensive tackle of those four. And the biggest reason is just the balance issues. He's on the ground more than you want to see from an offensive tackle. And that's why he's just slightly behind the other three for me. And so for that reason, I would take the other three guys ahead of him. But still, all four of these guys are really talented. They all project as starters for a long time in the pros.
Browns have been pretty aggressive in free agency. Is there a reason for them to be aggressive in this draft, especially this draft with everything else around it, and maybe move up for that prime offensive lineman? Is there a possibility, or maybe somebody puts a stop to that and says, no, I want the best offensive lineman, and I'm higher than you are?
I'd be shocked if the Browns moved up. I think that they don't have to in this class. I certainly understand what you're saying, because it makes sense to go get your guy. And, you want to protect. I think the biggest issue with Baker Mayfield was the offensive line last year. I think it ruined his confidence with how he was playing, just the way his skittish play style. It was a product of the offensive line. And I think the biggest thing they need to do is find that left tackle. And so I get why someone say, go up and get your guy. I just don't think that the Browns and, their brain trust and, that front office, they're not going to do it. I'd be shocked if they did. I think it's more likely that they would trade back. I think that's exactly what they want to do. Pick up a day two pick, and you trade back 10, 12 spots, and you draft Ezra Cleveland, who, besides the last name, this is the player that Browns are really, really interested in. They've done a lot of work on Ezra Cleveland out of Boise State. And he's a guy that is athletic. Obviously, he blew up the combine, but his tape is really good as well. And anybody that watches him from this past year, remember that he had suffered a turf toe in that season opener against Florida State. So he played the entire year with a turf toe, and the coaches just rave about him over at Boise State. I mean, they had to pull him off the field. He did not want to miss a single practice. So with Ezra Cleveland, I think he checks a lot of boxes, the athleticism, the tape, the football character. So, I think it's a little bit of a risk. If you're trading back, you're doing so with a particular player in mind. And so you have to make sure that you're still in the range to go get him. But I think there's a much more likely opportunity for them to move back than to move up.
Is he when the combine came around, they wouldn't shut up about him on TV. Mm-hmm. Is he still a plug and play guy? Like, is he a week one starter for this football team?
I think so. He doesn't have the overwhelming traits. He only has just over 33 inch arms. In terms of, he's not going to overwhelm defensive guys. There was going to be a little bit of a jump there going from the Mountain West to the NFL and NFL pass rushers. But I think he's ready to step in and, be a contributor and develop into a top line starter. He has that ability. He's comfortable in space. He's got a quick punch. He's very smart. He's very tough. There are times where when he's not able to sink, and he does lose that anchor, and so a blocker or rushers are able to bully him onto his heels, get him into the pocket. That does happen at times, so he needs to be able to consistently match the power for power, but the movements are there. I think he'd be an ideal fit with what the Cleveland's trying to do in the new offense this year. So the least surprising trade in the draft for me would be the Browns trading back and drafting Ezra Cleveland.
Boy, Dane, it seems like there's been a lot of buzz about the Browns trying to help their secondary and maybe looking at the LSU standout, Grant Delpit. And I know he had some issues tackling. Is that too big of a risk, where they might decide to take him in, after that first day?
No, and I don't think Grant Delpit's a first-round pick because of some of his issues. But talking about the third through the second round, I think that's where the value kicks in, and you're looking at Grant Delpit as that would be a natural fit. I think you need the range, the cover awareness. It all fits well. You do worry about the tackling. He had over almost 20 missed tackles this year, and we're going to hear about the ankle issue that he played with and missing that, and I'm sure it affected him to some degree. But I mean, you watch the tape and he's just flying by these guys. It's not like the ankle is really throwing him off as a tackler. He is missing some of these tackles by a wide margin, and he needs to clean it up if he's going to survive at the NFL level. I think it's fixable. It's not a want-to issue. It's more of just a discipline issue, and I think he can get there, but it's probably why he's going to be somewhere in the second round. And then the other safety I'd keep an eye on is Jeremy Chinn from Southern Illinois, who is just a freak athlete, 6'3", 220, ran the mid-4.4s, jumped over 40 inches. The production was outstanding. He had at least three picks every single year at Southern Illinois each of the last 4 years. So production, he checks the box. The traits, the athletic testing checks the box. And he's got good tape. He really does. He can do different things from covering to coming downhill, running the alley. So Jeremy Chinn, I think he's going to be really, really attractive to this front office. He's a name to keep an eye on with that early second-round pick for the Browns.
Take me back somewhere here for a second. Dane Brugler joining us on the show, at DP Brugler on Twitter. There you can find the link to his The Beast, the draft guide, and it is a big, big boy, and it's every year. We look forward to it. Just help me out here, Dane, because you said earlier maybe they could trade back. You said maybe 12 spots, as many as 12 spots.
Mm-hmm.
Say that they do trade back, and they're back there 12 spots later, like pick 22 somewhere in there, and maybe Ezra Cleveland gets taken somewhere. Maybe Denver surprises us or somebody else, and Ezra Cleveland comes off the board. Would then maybe a possibility happen where you might take another position, like a Patrick Queen, really like him? Would you stick with offensive tackle, or do you think that they really would stick with offensive tackle, where they go, okay, best overall available, we have these picks, we'll make it do later on, but this guy's really, really good?
Yeah, no, that's a great question, and it'd be a really interesting scenario for this team, because it's a very top-heavy offensive tackle group. Everyone in the world knows the Browns need a left tackle, and it's risky if you trade back, because if Cleveland gets taken right before you would draft him, then does that mean that you need to take an Austin Jackson from USC or Josh Jones from Houston, one of those other tackles? Are they high enough on them where that's a plan B that they'd be okay with in a trade back scenario? Because if you don't, then I don't love your options in round two, round three, round four at the offensive tackle spot. It's a very top heavy group this year. So I think there's some risk involved if you're going to trade back. But if they do trade back and that does happen, there's still going to be really good players. And you mentioned one of them with Patrick Queen. That would make a lot of sense with this team and their need at linebacker. Queen's a little undersized. He's 6'2", 230, shorter arms. But, man, is this guy explosive. And he's explosive with his initial movements. He's explosive when he closes. He's really young in football years. He was behind Devin White last year, who was a top-five pick in last year's draft. Became a full-time starter this year, and the guy was just all over the field. He can cover. He can play the run. His diagnose skills are outstanding. And he's also literally the youngest player in the draft. So doesn't turn 21 until August. Very young player, still coming around. But what he showed last year as a junior at LSU, man, you get excited about the possibility of what he could bring to your defense. And I'd also throw Kenneth Murray in there out of Oklahoma. Just a perfect run and hit linebacker. Takes a second to sort through things at time, but if you keep him in space, just let him run, that competitive energy that he brings, I think both those guys would make sense at linebacker.
All right, Dane, I want to ask about the rest of the NFL. That number two pick is so fascinating to me, because I can't imagine having a top two pick in this draft and not getting one of the two quarterbacks or Chase Young. Is there a chance Washington actually trades down?
The problem is we just don't know what's going on with Tua. Obviously with the Bengals and Burrow, like that just makes too much sense not to happen. It's the Bengals. You never know. But it would be a surprise to me and everyone else throughout the league if Burrow is not the first overall pick. And then, number two, with Tua, it's such a wild card. Now, if he was healthy, then, you know, he didn't have the durability question. You know, he had a chance to work out at a pro day, things like that. Then we'd be talking maybe a different tune here. But I just don't think that the Redskins are going to get that type of offer. I remember, 2012, the Redskins traded how many first-round picks to go up and get RG3. I don't think they're going to get anything close to that in this draft for a team going all in on a guy like Tua or even Justin Herbert or Jordan Love. So I would be surprised, especially with a Chase Young sitting there, a premier pass rusher, arguably the best player in the draft, guy that's going to step in and be a tone setter for your defense from day one. I think it would be a surprise if the first two picks are not the Bengals and the Redskins, and it's not Joe Burrow and Chase Young.
Dane Brugler joining us on the show. Lima, I'm sorry, you had something to say. Go ahead.
No, the more and more we see that you can't get a chance to actually, have your doctors with the evaluations on Tua. I'm watching yesterday on another station, Hugh Jackson is talking about, you need your doctor to get a chance to talk to him. Well, that's the point. You're not going to get that opportunity. So right. What are you supposed to do there? It's a pretty big gamble.
Absolutely. And what they're doing now, so just to give everyone background, after the combine, they have medical rechecks back in Indianapolis. And there's about a dozen, 15, 20 guys that get flagged at the combine, who are probably in the middle of their rehab. And they need to go back to Indianapolis for these rechecks to get just an update on what's going on. And obviously, we can't do that this year. So what they're doing is each player, wherever they're quarantined throughout the country, they get assigned an NFL trainer. So if there is a player who's currently quarantined in Cleveland or Northeast Ohio, then the Browns trainer, that's who he'd be assigned to. And each team would be able to make certain requests, check out his knee, check out his shoulder, whatever. And this trainer and the PT staff would be responsible for making a full report and posting it on the Combine website so every team would have access to it. And so that's the best solution in a really tough time. And so we'll see how that affects how teams view a Tua Tagovailoa or some of these other guys that are coming off some injuries from late in the season or throughout the draft process. But especially a quarterback, especially when you're talking about a top five pick, creates a lot of doubt. And that's why I don't think anybody should be surprised when Justin Herbert is the second quarterback drafted, say Miami at number five. I think they stay put. I think they're fine taking Justin Herbert, and then it comes down to the Chargers at six. Do they feel comfortable enough with Tua and what's going on with his body and the durability factor? So it makes the top five, top six or seven picks even more intriguing this year.
Dane, we thank you very much for the time. Find this guy on Twitter at DP Brugler. Get the draft scout coming up, or draft booklet that's coming out. I call it a booklet. It's a beast. It's like 400 pages. How many pages is it, real quick?
250,000 words.
Wow, 250,000 words? Okay, wow.
Yeah,
that's certainly more than I can write. Dane, thank you very much, buddy. All the best.
All right, take care, guys.
Dane Brugler joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Again, find his Twitter. He's got the link to it. It's a fantastic draft guide. 216-578-0092. Get back to a little bit of this when we come back. And also, the one sport that really does need fans. It's Ken Carman with Anthony Lima, live on The Fan.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.